This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Tonight's special shiur is dedicated by the Fonfeder family. L'zecher nishmas, bracha bas Moshe Tovia, the neshama shehavana aliyah, b'gan Eden tehei menuchasa, she should be melitza yashar for her whole family, for simchas hanachas, ad bias goyal tzedek.
Progress.
Okay, good evening everyone, shalom aleichem. Like Reb Lewis mentioned, we have a very interesting topic tonight. We're going to speak about whether a woman who is widowed or divorced has to cover her hair. It actually comes out very beautiful in the Rashi. The Gemara on Ayin Beis Manav brought the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a woman violates either Das Moshe or Das Yehudis, she goes out without a ksuba. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, what's an example of violating Jewish practice, Das Yehudis? Yoitza v'roisha parosha. She goes out with her hair uncovered. That's a violation of Jewish practice. A woman who goes out with her hair uncovered, that's a violation of Jewish practice. So the Gemara has a question on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph that a woman not covering her hair is not a violation of Jewish practice. A woman not covering her hair is a violation of biblical law. The Gemara says, "Roish pura d'iraisahi d'chsev upara es roish ha'isha." It says, "By a soita, you will uncover the hair, the head of a woman." The Tanadve Rabbi Shmuel, and it's taught in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, "Azhara levnois Yisrael." It is a warning to Jewish women. Shelo yetsu bepurui haroish d'iraisa. It's a warning for Jewish women that it's a biblical violation to have their hair uncovered. So, there are two... before we see Rashi, I want to share with you a few interesting questions. Number one, let's share the screen here. Do you see the Marah Makom? Yeah, okay. This comes from Igros Moshe, Eben Ha'ezer, Chelek Aleph, Siman and Zayin. Be'isser priyas harosh la'amana, be'makom hefsed gadol. Says Rav Moshe, Nishalti, I was asked, b'dvar ha'isha shenes amana, regarding a widowed woman, utzricha lefarnes banel, she has to support her family, ve'ino moitza lehistaker lemisra she'yia k'dei lefarnes banel, she can't get an office job, ela be'imlo yisachas es roisha, unless she doesn't cover her hair. Kishatia beha office. La'avo b'misharsa imrasha. The only way she could get a decent office job is if she doesn't have her hair covered. I guess back in the day, they didn't have sheitels like they have today. You know, with all the criticism of sheitels and how glamorous it is, but the truth is, in the last 20, 30, 40 years, it really came along with the more widespread observance of women covering their hair. Because the reality is, many women don't want to cover their hair with a tichel or some kind of shmata. But this woman, apparently the sheita was not an option, and to wear a tichel, she's not going to be able to hold down a job that way. Nobody's going to hire her. So the question is, can a almana take a job and take the job without covering her hair? I mean, we could ask the same question. Can a regular woman, let's say a regular woman, would only be able to get a married woman, would only be able to get a job if she wouldn't cover her hair, would she be able to forego covering her hair to get a job? So let's analyze this before we see Rashi and Arsugya, before we see anything. In general, how much money does a person have to spend to be mekayim a mitzvah? There's a general rule. You have to give up 1/5 of your money to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, mitzvah d'iraisa, let's say a lulav and esrog. Let's say you have very little money. It's going to cost you 1/5 of your money to buy dal and minim, to buy tefillin, to buy tzitzis. You got to spend a choymesh to be mekayim a mitzvah. What about how much money do you have to spend not to violate an avera? So the halacha is you need to spend all your money not to violate an avera. A person has to give up all their money not to violate an avera. What about, it's interesting, what about an Avera Drabanan? You have to give up all your money not to violate an Avera Drabanan. So for example, let's say somebody tells you, talk by Chazaras Hashatz or I'm going to take away all your money. You have to give up all your money not to talk by Chazaras Hashatz. Even in Isser Drabanan, one would have to give up all their money. So what would you say covering your hair is? Is that a positive mitzvah? Or is that an Isser of not covering your hair? The nafkamina would be, how much money do you have to give up to be mekayimid? Because let's set the record straight. Having a job is worth at least a fifth of your money. Even someone who's a millionaire and he has a lot of money in the bank, but having a job, a career, it's worth at least a fifth of your money, right? So if covering your hair is a positive mitzvah, so then a woman would not have to cover her hair if it means losing her job. If it's an avera not to cover your hair, then a woman would have to give up all her money not to cover her hair. So let's look at Rashi in our sugya. Rashi says, what's the source that a woman has to cover her hair? The bottom Rashi on Ayin Bezim and Aleph says, Mida avdinan la hachi lenavla, the fact that we uncover her hair to make her disgusting, mida kenegen mida, measure for measure, kamoisha asasa lehisnois albayala, just like she uncovered her hair to be beautiful to her, the adulterer, miklal da asar. That means it's asar. In other words, the fact that why do we uncover the hair of a saita? Presumably because it's mida keneged mida. She uncovered her hair to her bayel, so we uncover her hair, mida keneged mida. That implies that it was prohibited for her to uncover her hair to the bayel. Then Rashi brings another pshat. Inami, midach sivu para. Or you could say from the fact that it says we uncover her hair, miklal da'ahu shaita lav perua havas. That implies that until then, it was not covered. That implies that at that moment, it was not covered. Shema mina. From here we see Ein Derech Benois Yisrael Latzeis Peruos Roish. It's not the Derech for Jewish women to go out with their hair uncovered. So the second Shan Rashi is, the fact that we uncover her hair, that implies that until then her hair was covered. That means biblical Jewish practice is for her to cover her hair. V'chein Iker. This is the Iker Pshat that Rashi says he would like to go with. So Rav Moshe brilliantly says that if you study these two explanations in Rashi, it would come out a very big nafkamina of how we look at a woman's obligation to cover her hair. According to the first reason, that we do it to her, to be menavel her, to make her disgusting like she did to her bayel, that implies that what she did to her bayel was usser. Then not covering your hair is an isser. But if it's just an implication that until now it was covered, which means Jewish practice is for a woman to cover her hair, then that just means it's a mitzvah for her to cover her hair. But it's not an avera for her not to. Yeah, it would be an avera because she's not fulfilling her obligation. But it's not an isser, it's a mitzvah. The nafkamina would be, how far does a woman have to go to do it? Does she have to give up all her money? Now, another thing is, does a widowed woman have to cover her hair? Is that d'oraisa, or is maybe that only d'rabbanan? So Rav Moshe says like this, v'heshavti, I answered, sheyesh lahatir la b'tzarech gadol kazeh, that this widow can be lenient for a very pressing need. Why? D'ha'pashot she'af l'habei shmua v'hadog omer v'av v'sim chafav siv katan heisha savi mi'ushami she'gam ha'mana asur aleches v'ros rosh. He says, it's pashat that even the Beis Shmuel and the Dag Omer Vava who say that an almana has to cover her hair, that's not biblical, that's only Das Yehudis. Hurak mitzah Das Yehudis. It's only Jewish practice that an almana has to cover her hair. Dimidaraisa Yirak Beishas Ishnemer. Midaraisa only an Eishas Ish has to cover her hair. V'lachin, therefore, kivan sheyesh lefareish. Since you could explain, the me'acher du shaloi nemar b'toyer b'loshen iser. The Torah doesn't say a woman is not allowed to cover her hair. I'm sorry, the Torah doesn't say that it's a woman is not allowed to go with her hair uncovered. Rather, hurak chiyuv aseh, it's a positive obligation, shetelech b'kisei arosh, that she should go with her hair covered. So Rav Moshe says, just out of logic, it's mistaber that the Torah never said that it's usur for a woman to go around with her hair uncovered, but rather it's a positive command. Oh, mistaber lanias daiti, says Rav Moshe, it's logical to me. Shebezeh pligi beis halashoynes barashik subastaf ayin beis. It's mistaber to me that this is the machloikis between the two lashonis and Rashi and Ksuba Sandaf Ayin Beis, b'feirush hayalfusa, in explaining the limud of from Soita, the lalish nakama sheperush, going to the first lashon who explains the abdinan lahachi, the fact that we do this to her lanavla mida kenegan mida, kamoisha asasalas nois, just like she did to be beautiful, meklal da aser, that lashon holds savashu iser. V'ayin b'ritva shekasav l'pirish zeh. Look at the ritva who writes according to this pirish, the Rashi. Miklal de priyas haroish pritzus hu. We see that priyas haroish is pritzus li'isha. According to the first lashon of Rashi, the ritva says it's pritzus for a woman not to cover her hair. Shelchein vaday hu iser. It would be an iser for her not to cover her hair. Ula lishna basa, but according to the second lashon of Rashi, sheperish midachsiv upara meklal dahi shaita lav prohu shema mina ein derech benois yisrael lotzis prusarish. So we see it's not the derech of women, Jewish women, to go out with their hair uncovered. Mashma du inyan mitzvah aleh. That's mashma. There's a mitzvah on her. La leches bekisei harosh v'loy inyan iser. Not a matter of iser. Rak shememela nase iser. Memela, there would be an iser because she's not fulfilling her mitzvah. Dehoi veras al haasei, kishay leches pruis roish. Umasik Rashi shekein ikur, that the main reason, that the main source for a woman covering her hair is the fact that we uncover the hair of a saita. That implies until then it was covered. Says Rav Moshe v'achilug ladina, the simple difference between these two lashonos, who dim hu iser. If it's an iser, yesh lesser af behefsid gadol, you would ask her even if it's a big hefsid. She tafsid koma money, she would have to lose all her money. Avl murak chiyav asay, but if it's just a positive command, have a gam oinus mamon the yosem mechamesh, then it's a extenuating circumstance of money more than a fifth. De baasay chayav rak ad chamesh. Says Reb Moshe. V'lechein, anything that's a hefsid of a fifth or more, namely, for example, she can't get a job unless she goes with her hair uncovered, that would be an oinus that she's not mechuyev according to the Lishna Basra, which is ikar. So you'll say, then even if she's not an almana, even if she's a regular married woman, she should be able to take a job, even if it's going to mean not covering her hair, because she doesn't have to give up a fifth of her money, she doesn't have to give up more than a fifth of her money to cover her hair. What does it have to do with the fact that she's an almana, even if she was an eishes ish? Says Rav Moshe, if she was an eishes ish, where biblically she has to cover her hair, then you could say, well, even though Rashi says the ikker reason a woman has to cover her hair is as a asay, and then she would not have to do so if it's more than a fifth of your money. But it would be a suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. Mi suffik, well, maybe the first version of Rashi is correct. And for a woman not to cover her hair, it's an iser. And then she would have to give up all her money. So a married woman, she would not be able to take a job if it meant her not covering her hair, even if it means her giving up all her money. Even though Rashi says the ikar is the second lashon, but it's at least a suffik. Ava on the third line in the next paragraph, but almana, look where my icon is. Shehu rak das yehudis. But an amana, where it's only Jewish practice, yesh lahakel misafek. Because it's not more chamor than an iser derabanan. If it was an outright iser derabanan, we would say safek lakula. And furthermore, says Rav Moshe, in other words, the das Yehudis here, which an amana covering your hair is das Yehudis, which is not more chamor than iser derabanan. So misafek, she would be able to be lenient and say, well, maybe the main reason a woman has to cover her hair is that it's a mitzvah. She doesn't have to give up more than a fifth. But you could say further, it's only Jewish custom out of Jewish practice. But maybe it's not Jewish practice for Amana to cover her hair if it's going to be a hefsed mamon. So that's the first nafkamina between the two Lashonis and Rashi. The nafkamina would be an Amana, where it would only be Das Yehudis. And now we have a suffix, is it a mitzvah or is it an asay? I want to share with you one more nafkamina, amazing nafkamina. Unfortunately, you have situations where a woman is married for a short amount of time and then she gets divorced and she's dating again. And if a guy sees a young girl on a date and she's wearing a sheitel, he's not interested. So the shaila is, can this young grusha go on a date or two without a sheitel? So now, you know, if the man likes her, so she'll tell her, she'll tell him that, you know, she's a grusha. Even though the chances are, Rav Moshe says, the guy already knows from before going out with her that she's probably a grusha. But at least the first time he sees her, she'll be appealing. Then the next time, if she wears a sheitel, she's already matzachin be'inav. But if she wears a sheitel the first time, he thinks it's already, you know, it's already something that he's not interested in. So the question is, can this grusha date without covering her hair? This is in Ebeno Ezer, Chelek Dalid, Simen Lamed Beis, Ois Dalid. V'hadin estapei kvoi terascha harama, be'ishat se'ira grusha she'en rotzana she'yedu she'ese nesua. A young woman who's divorced, she doesn't want people to know that she was married before. She'lchein rotzana leches b'li kisra. She wants to go without her hair covered. V'av she'en rotzana l'ramais. She's not trying to trick anyone. And the truth is, she can't trick anyone, because all her friends know. Umisha Yirtzalisa is anyone who's going to want to marry her. He's going to do his drisha v'chakira vada yishalala v'yomrulai she grusha. They're going to tell him that she's a grusha. Uva medina senu behechrach yeda be'es rishimasam be'city hall shayla balkvar. When they go for a marriage license, it's going to be recorded that this woman was previously married. So she's not trying to trick anyone. Her kavana is ava kavanasa, da achar sheyakiru isa. Her kavana is that once he gets to know her, v'timtzachin be'enei echad l'noisa, she finds favor in someone's eyes that somebody wants to marry her. Loi toivad china, she won't lose her charm, kisha tesaper l'yachar kach, when she lets him know, shahila ba'avanes kasha, that she was previously married. But a guy who knows about this girl that she was once divorced, she's not going to think anything up. He's not going to even consider her. It's a very reasonable concern. Can we give this woman a heter based on what I wrote in Chelek Aleph, Simenon Zayin, that an amana who needed a job, we said she didn't have to cover her hair, based on the second reasoning of Rashi, that it's not usher for her to go without her hair covered. It's a mitzvah for her, and therefore she doesn't have to give up a fifth of the money. So just like I was matur there, v'loy ratzulita la mitzvah, that woman who they didn't want to give her a job, ela dafke v'mloy techasas rosh, only if she didn't cover her hair. So the question is, can we extend the heter to allow a grusha to go out without covering her? Says Rav Moshe, that's a very reasonable extension. Yes, you could give this woman a heter. Vadayit tzedek kvay teras harama sheyesh la heter gamla shu hefsid gadol. Yeah, that's also a big hefsid. Not being able to find another husband is a big hefsid. Le'inyan hasagas echad lenoisa k'may she'itarti sham, just like I was matir it there. It should be mutter here. The grusha shetzarach l'chaz rosha eina gam k'midai raisa. A divorced woman covering her hair is also not biblical. She's not eshesish. It's also only das yehud, this Jewish practice. But it's not... It's Jewish practice, but it's not midaraisa. Sheg degrusha shetzar l'chazor she'ena gam kim midaraisa. Ela mitzad das yehudis. Avot tzricha leida, she needs to know. You need to know. Shebemakom she'en lalachosh. And it's once there's no concern anymore that he won't like her, tzricha l'chazor she'ena, she's obligated to cover her hair. V'loi tia mutars l'gamrim shol zeh. It's not going to be outright mutter. In other words, the bottom line is a divorced or widowed woman must cover her hair. But if it's a matter of her not finding a job, or it's a matter of her not finding a chasan, so again, a married woman, okay, there's no heter for her not to cover her hair for money. Because even if she's going to lose all her money, we would be concerned for the first lashon of Rashi that it's an isser for her not to cover her hair. She would have to give up all her money. But in the case of a grusha, or a case of an almana, where it's not an isser d'iraisa, it's only an isser d'rab, it's only das yehudis, it's only midrabanan, then we could say, safek d'rabanan l'kula, maybe the second roshan of Rashi, which anyway Rashi says is the ikker, is that it's not a isser for her not to cover here, it's only a mitzvah, and she would not have to give up more than a fifth of her money. Giving up a job, giving up the ability to remarry, is considered more than a fifth of her money. It's a hefsid meruba, and she could be lenient. But otherwise, an almana or a grusha has to cover her here. It's not d'oraisa, it's das yehudis. Okay, that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And on that note, have a great night. If you have any questions...
Rabbi, quick question. But if the bond is already quote unquote broken per se, if it's a B or C, why does she still have to continue to cover her hair? There's no connection anymore. I mean, and I would then question: is there a difference between a widow and a divorcee?
So there's no difference between a widow and divorcee. The bond is broken, but it's considered. Das Yehudis is modest Jewish practice. You know, there are opinions that single women are also obligated to cover her hair. We don't follow that. By some Hasidim, they are makbid that they braid their hair. Why? Because they're choshesh that hair, seyer b'isha erva, right? Seyer b'isha erva. Okay, it's more by a married woman, but it's not totally out of the realm of logic that really any woman has some type of... So we say it's a Jewish practice. It's Das Yehudis. Once she's married, once she was in a relationship with a man, she would have to cover here. The shaila is, when does that start, by the way? Does it start by the chuppah?
By the year. Right.
Or does it start by the biyah? I think we spoke this out. The Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion a Isha Nesua must cover her hair. So in our yeshiva, they're very makbet, always to follow the Mishnah Berurah. So the Rosh Yeshiva will not be Mesader Kedushin if the woman does not wear a Shetel at the Chuppah. By my wedding, those were the terms of the Seder Kedushin, you know. That's what we did. We were makbid on that. Most follow Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says it's dependent on the yichud haroi labia, or on the bia itself. And then, you know, most Orthodox weddings, even Bnei Torah, the girl is not wearing a shetel, not at the chuppah, and not even after the yichud room at the dancing, her hair is not covered.
That's, I want to tell you, we have the custom that we don't, that when they go in the Yehud room, we don't close the door completely. So there is not that problem.
Uh-huh. Right.
To avoid that issue.
Yeah. Very good. Shkoyach.
Thank you very much, Rav.
Okay, good night. Good night. Thank you. Kol tov. Good night.
Recording stopped.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.